My Life Now is a half-hour podcast show which regularly features reviews of new releases and all-time classics of both traditionally published and self-published books.
Tune in for special guest interviews and, of course, helpful tips to not only write your next book, but also to help market it.
My Life Now is most often referred to as a great way for authors to get quality exposure and avid readers to discover their next read.
Without further delay, here's another stimulating episode of My Life Now.
Welcome back to another episode of My Life Now. Once again, my name is Dallas here. Today, we have two amazing guests, a father and son duo, Dan and Beau Dubose. Such a pleasure to have you guys here today. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Doing great today, Dallas.
Very happy to be here.
As I mentioned, that you guys have written a book together. It's called Time Before Time, and that book is available on Amazon, and there will be a link in the description. But as we get into this book, I just want to encourage our audience to check out that link to purchase the book, to review the book, as we're discussing here, because you guys are going to give us an in-depth understanding of what it is, what you guys are talking about, without giving too much detail, of course, because we want them to buy the book. So thank you guys again for joining us. And we're just going to give it to you, Dan. Just go ahead, since you're the father here. Just tell us who you are and what led you guys to write this book.
All right. Well, I was born and raised in East Texas, lived all up and down East Texas. My father was a Baptist preacher and was a pastor in several churches up and down East Texas. I been married for 44 years to my lovely wife and my best friend, Becky. And basically I graduated from Silsbee High School, which is down in deep East Texas. And after graduation, went on to Texas A&M University, where I spent four wonderful years in the Corps Cadets there. And of course, ended up wearing the senior boots and spurs and very proud of that. And, we have one thing I skip. Becky and I have two wonderful kids together. One of them you see and sitting right here, another daughter. And we have two gorgeous grandkids, a son and a daughter. And after going to A&M and spending 4 years in the Corps there, I, along the way, got an Air Force scholarship. And when I graduated, I was commissioned second lieutenant in the Air Force and spent most of my time stationed at Lowry Air Force Base in Denver and assigned to the Civil Engineering Squadron, where I was a contracting officer. After I got out of the Air Force, I went to work for some small commercial construction companies. And believe me, when you're working with a small company, you learn your business very well or you don't survive. And after a few years, I was recruited into a major construction company, one of the biggest in the United States, and I was with them for quite a long time. I ended up as my career as a executive vice president in charge of estimating and procurement for this company, where we were over the last few years put in place. So believe it or not, around $3 billion worth of work every year. So I had a staff of about 50 people working for me. And about a year and a half ago, I decided to retire. And then I was able to spend some time writing the book at that point in time. So that's pretty much my background.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. And Beau, how about you?
Not as much excitement in my background. Great life coming up. Went to small high school in Mississippi, went to the University of Southern Mississippi, where I graduated in a degree in construction. I've worked for the same company that Dad retired from now for about 23 years. I'm a senior project manager for them, working with some of our major clients. And, really just had a great time working on the book with Dad and spending that time together, coming up with the different ideas and ways things happen. So it's been great.
Yeah. And so I do want to dive into that book. But before I do, I have to ask one more question. Father and son writing a book together, that's not something we see often. And so When did you guys just decide, yes, let's do this together? Kind of walk us through that.
I don't know if we really ever decided we was going to do it together. It just kind of started happening because I started writing it and I said, "Hey, Bo, read this and see what you think." And he got into it and then started having ideas and different things and started correcting me on some things about what I was saying, and then it kept things going in the right order, and it was just kind of a evolving type thing where we really didn't decide we were going to write a book together. It just started happening, and as Bo said, it was a very enjoyable experience. We got a lot closer during the time, and it had its challenges, believe me. We argued about some things and debated a lot of things, and I think because of both of us involved in it, the whole thing came out a lot better.
And Bo, anything else to add on that?
No, not really. I mean, just like he said, he would send me something and I would tweak it or say, "Well, it would sound a lot better if you said this," or change some of the words. Really got into editing and doing the grammar and making sure it was actually readable. And so it just evolved from there into, bouncing ideas off each other and really talking about it when we got together, and spend a lot of time on the phone doing that.
So Dan, this was kind of your idea to start, and then Bo kind of joined in later, you're saying.
Yes, that's about right. Yeah.
So without giving too much away, Dan, can you just tell our audience briefly what is the book about? And then I'll ask you a few questions from there.
Well, the book is about a brilliant professor that had a lot of conflicts in his theories about ancient civilizations and alternative histories of the Earth. He was probably one of the most brilliant people in the United States, maybe even the world. And his colleagues and peers really ridiculed him and really blackballed him for his ideas because he went totally against mainstream scientists. And he just decided to build himself a time machine and go back and see for himself. And so that's what started the whole thing. And that was kind of the premise of the book. And I can kind of lean into the next question a little bit if you want me to, as
Go
far as
ahead.
what the premise of things, what inspired this thing and what inspired the book was basically when I was in high school, like I said, my dad was a Baptist preacher, and one Sunday he was preaching a sermon from Kings that talked about Elijah going up to heaven and visiting with God in a fiery chariot. So when I got home from school not school, when I got home from church that day, I asked him, I said, "You think," and this was about the time that Eric Von Daniken's book was come out, Chariots of Gods, and it was a sensation across the world. And anyway, I had read it and I was pretty enthralled with it. So I asked my dad, "Do you think God took Elijah up in a spaceship or a real chariot?" He says, "Well, I'm not sure how he took him up there, but one thing for sure is he went up there. He went for sure." And then I asked my dad, I said, "What would you think would happen, or what would you think if we found out there were really aliens in other star systems that came to Earth and they were here?" And he said, "Well, son, let me tell you something. God made them as well as making us, and God created the universe, and so they're his children as well as we are." So just kind of always remember that God has created everything, and if there's aliens, he created them too. So that kind of released me to kind of start thinking in a different path than kind of what he was thinking in. And believe me, a missionary Baptist is more like a hard shell Baptist. It's a very literal interpretation of the Bible. So I kind of got out of that mode a little bit and started thinking about this type of thing and what would happen and what had happened in the past. And then he and then from there, I wrote several short stories in high school concerning aliens and different things that happened, and I won't go into all of them right now, but they're in the archive somewhere. But
They're available
anyway,
somewhere.
I kind of got sidetracked going to college and then getting in the Air Force and then a career in construction. And then, I've kind of thought about this my entire life. And a couple of years ago, I decided that I was really thinking about it hard one day. And I said, boy, it'd be nice to, if I could build a time machine and just go back and look. And all of a sudden, Emerson Whitmore came about, and he jumped out of my head on paper, and that's exactly what he did. So that was kind of the premise of the book and why it started and how it got to be started. So been thinking about it for 40 some years and finally started putting it on paper. So anyway, that's that kind of answers some of your questions there.
Unlock financial security with Everpure Precious Metals. Invest wisely in gold, silver, and platinum. Expertly sourced and of highest quality. Whether you're a first-time buyer or a seasoned stacker, they guide you through the market. Adorn yourself with timeless elegance. Subscribe now for exclusive details. Your future awaits. Visit epreciousmetals.com. That is epreciousmetals.com. Unlock the transformative power of Psalm 91 with the New Covenant Psalm. Dive into the timeless verses that address fear, violence, and challenges, offering a profound perspective on safety and security through trust in God. This book combines the eloquence of the King James Version with insightful New Testament explanations, providing a clear understanding of Psalm 91. Don't miss the chance to live a confident, fear-free life. Grab your copy on Amazon today.
And for you, Bo, this Emerson, what did you like most about this character as your dad was developing it?
Well, I mean, he's just a genius scientist. So you see these kind of characters in the movies, in other forms of literature, and they're always eccentric and not really down to earth. Well, this guy is more down to earth. He understands, how the process works and how things are. And you can kind of relate to him more, not just this brilliant guy that's so smart nobody can touch him. And so I really liked how down to earth, he really is. And while at the same time being smart enough to build a time machine.
And I do want to go back, Dan. You also mentioned that there were maybe some real life characters inspiring this book as well. Can you talk about that some more?
Yeah, I can talk about that a little bit. When Emerson Whitmore built his second time machine, he figured out he needed a plane type machine that would he could travel around the world and look at different sites and different things. So he built a time machine out of an old jet plane that had been mothballed by the Air Force and converted it into quite a fancy machine. Then he found this guy named Colonel Gunho Higgs, that had just retired from the Earth Space and Ground Forces. That was one of the best pilots that they ever had. And so Higgs went with him on several journeys along with Chantry and piloted his new plane time machine for him, and became one of the proved himself as one of the best pilots in the universe, and really got Whitmore out of a lot of jams and a lot of other people out of a lot of jams. And this is based on a guy I graduated with from college. His name was Steve Higgs, as a matter of fact, and I spelled it different in the book, but that was his name. And he was the commandant of my outfit in the Corps of Cadets my senior year. He also went on into the Air Force with a got commissioned in the Air Force same time I did, but he went on to be a pilot, and he flew F-14s, F-15s, F-16s, 18s, 22s. And his favorite plane was the A-10 Warthog. And he went to Top Gun twice in two different airplanes. And, you know, he's a true American hero, and he's always been one of my heroes. And unfortunately, he's been diagnosed with dementia now from being his brain rattled around in them jet planes. And he's the VA's taking care of him all right, but he's still going downhill, and who will keep so. But his actions in the book and him, this was my tribute to him. And like I said, I think he's one of our great heroes in the United right. States. So anyway, that's kind of an answer to that question.
Yeah, it's amazing that you can honor him through the book and even use the same name, even though you spelled it differently. That's wonderful.
Well, I spelled it a little different, but the good thing about it, the book's going to be coming out on audio here in a couple of months, and he's going to be able to listen to it. So
that's awesome. That's great. Bo, anything else to add with what your dad's speaking about here, or maybe the different constellations or anything like that within the book?
Well, I mean, no, there's a few other characters that are based on some of people, you know, some of my friends growing up and things like that, and more humorous adventures that we actually had in a couple instances. Changed a little bit, but still close enough that they get it when they see it. And really good adventures for these characters. They're not major characters like Higgs is, but they do, you know, come from different spots in time, different constellations, just spread around the book. So, you know, these guys that know when they see it, when they read it, they see it. But everybody else is just a normal character.
Yeah,
well, I can give you a real example of that. One of the characters is named Lieutenant Sean in the book, and he volunteered in the Marines right out of high school, and he got nominated for a Bronze Star for he ran a phone line through a minefield to a separate site and back again, and he got nominated for this Bronze Star, but when he got back, the commander told him what he'd done, and he got so sick in his stomach he threw up. He didn't know he'd went through a minefield. So that's, we enhanced that in the book somewhat, and like Bo said, there's several other instances of people that recognize who they are, what happened to them in the book, and it kind of played off of that a little bit. But so it's, anyway, that's
Yeah. Bo, who would you say that this book is written for?
Well, I would say it's really going to be written for just lovers of science fiction, right? A lot of the staple science fiction concepts in there: time travel, space fighting, you know, rocket ships and aliens, other races. And so a lot of good science fiction material in there. So any fan of science fiction, the science fiction genre, is going to like this. But also, there's alternative history in this, and we've tied it to actual things that have happened throughout the course of history, and archaeological finds and things like that that maybe aren't explained. And we've presented a different theory of that. So people that like alternative history, I think, we'll really like this book as well.
Yeah. And Dan, what do you hope that people get from this book or take away from it as they're reading?
Just to keep an open mind about, as Bo was saying, alternative histories that could have happened, that may have happened, that we don't know one way or the other. I mean, Earth's been around 4.5 billion years. I mean, there's been traces of a type of human or type of humans on Earth for million to 2 million years, and you know, Homo sapiens have been recognized to be around for 300,000 years, And the premise that we've never had an advanced society capable of doing anything industrial-wise or anything except for the last few thousand years seems kind of silly to me. And so I hope that this opens people's mind to just to think about these kind of things and to explore this kind of thing. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah. It sounds like something fun and exciting to explore, these different avenues, these different, you know, outcomes. What could have happened? What did happen? What may happen? That's interesting. Yeah. Yes. Anything else that you guys want to tell our audience today about the book itself?
I would say like Dad said, right, you know, keep an open mind, but really you got to get into the book. There's some exposition in there talking about the theories, talking about the technology behind the time machine, but there's a lot of action, you know, a lot of exciting things happening to these characters and the adventures they go on, the travels they, where this time machine theory takes them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just how they get to, from where we start with the meeting of Emerson Whitmore and John Chantry to, you know, where it ends and that journey to get to that point is just an exciting ride. So, you know, really encourage people to pick this book up and give it a read and enjoy it as much as we did writing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell by you guys describing it, it sounds like an adventure. That's amazing. And so I really appreciate your guys' time here today. One more time, the name of the book is Time Before Time. This is available on Amazon. Do you guys have a personal link for the website or something like that as well?
Yes, you can find it and other links to purchase at www.timebeforetimebook.com. We've got a great website and you can find links to Amazon as other platforms to purchase it on.
And you did say, Dan, that the audio version is coming out soon. So that's also something to be watching for. Do you guys have more books in store? Are you guys writing more books together or separately that we should be watching for?
Well, I'm working on a sequel to this book at the moment, and we're about halfway through it, and I'm probably going to pick up the pace a little bit as over the next few months, but that's a major project in the works, and I'm really thinking that in the future I might write a book about the challenges of being raised as a preacher's kid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's quite interesting in itself. It was quite a challenge. So, and it's a unique experience in itself. So that may be in a future project.
So you guys are listening to the My Life Now podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Once again, check out the books, the links here, connect with these authors here today. It's been a pleasure to have you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening and supporting another episode of My Life Now.
Please remember to subscribe to our podcast show and share it with a friend.
Together, we can keep the message of these books alive.
Until we turn the next page together, stay classy.